This is East Carolina Hall of Famer and Utah Jazz first-round draft pick Blue Edwards. You're listening to Pirate Basketball Overtime on the Sports Objective, your home for the best East Carolina hoops coverage.
Welcome. Welcome. You have entered the home of the ECU Pirates. Pirate Nation, stand up and put your hooks in the sky. Let's make this competition feel what it's like to be surrounded. Y'all with me? Come on. Yeah. Let's get it started. Get your hands at your pocket. Turn up the volume. We're the bomb and you're the target. It's on. Mind blowing with the whatnots. Doing everything but stop. Trust dog. Y'all ain't ready for this. High powered. ECU's on fire.
Welcome in to Pirate Basketball Overtime here on the Sports Objective. We went overtime on our last show, of course, with a Pirate preview of looking at ECU Navy for Saturday afternoon in Annapolis, where our very own Bubba Rosenbaum will be. But we decided to go ahead and do the show because we thought that there are a lot of people later today, being Friday, that will take a look at this, and then we'll obviously talk about ODU, who the Pirates will be playing next. Pirates go... fell a little short earlier last night, and that would be to Oklahoma 79-74, a very tight game. We welcome in now my brother from a different mother, and that's my B-fam. That would be Bubba Rosenbaum. What's up, man? Good morning.
Yeah, good morning to you as well, Dave. And, yeah, heartbreaker, 79-74, like you said, Pirates falling to the Sooners. But so many positives to build on from this, and I know Coach Dooley felt the same way, and we'll get to some of his comments, pulled from ecupirates.com and the postgame recap that Chip Welch and the ECU Media Relations Department put out there following tonight's contest. But, you really have to commend the team. Even though we came up short, the way we battled, you fell behind right out of the gates, 9-2. I think that was just 3.5 minutes into the ball game. And then about 3 or 4 minutes later, Alonzo Frink made a layup, and all of a sudden we're up 15-14, feeling pretty good about things. And we built, I want to say it was a 4-point lead there in the first half. And then it was a shame that we didn't take a lead into the locker room. Oklahoma did surge ahead right there in the final minute. But it was a back-and-forth game and so many positives to build on.
No question, Bubba. I was really excited for the Pirates. I think that this season, when Kyle Barber says, hey, we got a good basketball team, that actually made me feel – I forgot I didn't tell you that right in the green room there just a few minutes ago, but – I said, wow, for Kyle Barber to be bragging about our basketball team. I'm not saying like he's over the top about it, over the moon about it, but that made me feel very good because I think that we knew this team was going to be better. I said that even with it hurt not having Jaden Gardner, but life goes on, like breaking up with someone, you find a new girlfriend, you find a new boyfriend. This particular case, I think that what I'm happy to see, Bubba, it sounds very mean maybe on my part, but I'm happy to see that we have a team sport again where look at the number of guys. I think it was off the top of my head. We'll talk more, but the fact there's three guys in double figures again tonight. We have two more that were knocking at the door, one with 8 and one with 9, I think. So you have roughly right at five dudes that score in double figures right at so. Balanced scoring. I thought overall, another thing, Bubba, that I was really happy about is I thought our defense was some of the best we've had in a good while, especially under Joe Dooley 2.0. This is one of the best performances that I have seen. And when it comes to this is his fourth year back.
Yeah, first I'll start off with the scoring since you brought up on some of those numbers tonight. The individual scoring, Tristan Newton coming off that 30-point performance against Western Carolina where he just lit it up from three-point range, knocking down five trifectas in that one. He didn't shoot the ball particularly well from three tonight, but he did. His numbers there when he was 1 out of 6, But he was 7 out of 14 from the field, producing 18 points in 36 minutes. And even though he was only 1 of 6 from three, he did knock some, 15 to 17 footers down, and talk about some tough shots. And some of the shots that he hit, the commentators on ESPNU were just raving over Tristan Newton and the type of player he is. So it was great to see him produce excellent back-to-back outings. And, I have to look at it now. What I know he's had at least three, if not all four, games in double figures. And I think one of those first couple games he had 15 points. So Tristan Newton is having a heck of a season so far, and that's great to see. Brandon Suggs, 14 points, 7 out of 9 from the free throw line. And that's something, as a team, we did not shoot free throws well, and we'll have those team statistics for you in a moment. But 13 out of 20 were the Pirates tonight from the charity stripe, 65%. Not good enough in a close ball game like this against a quality opponent like Oklahoma. And Brandon, in addition to those 14 points, had 6 assists, 4 rebounds, and also 3 steals, at least one of which led to a fast break dunk. It's seeming like he has at least one, if not a couple of those per game now, that leads to a fast break jam. And TRW had another solid outing, made some clutch threes late that really kept us in it and gave us a chance. And TRW, Tremont Robinson White, finished with 12 points, 3 out of 4 from three, and 3 steals. And the commentators were also raving over his shot-making ability as well as the way he plays defense. What about Zoe Frank? Alonzo Frank in 12 minutes tonight, 8 points, 3 out of 3 from the floor. And one of those, he stepped out and knocked down a three. So he was showing some nice athleticism and also his versatility, being able to step out and knock down a trifecta. And also you mentioned how the Pirates, and we had 3 in double figures with Newton, Suggs, and Robinson White. And then you had J.J. Miles, Luigi DeBoe, and, like I already mentioned, Zoe Frank, that were right there with 9 and then 8 and 8, respectively. J.J. had the 9, 4 out of 8 from the floor. And Luigi DeBoe, Luigi had 8 and 6. If you can get 8 and 6 on a night-in, night-out, and game-in, game-out basis from Luigi, you got to feel great. And it's great to see him with a couple of back-to-back solid performances after those first two games. He didn't look particularly comfortable. And if you get that, and it was big that he stepped up tonight, not only because, you'd love that from him anytime, but tonight Brandon Johnson wasn't as productive. He did pull down 5 rebounds, but he did not score in 19 minutes.
Yeah, that was a disappointment, but, it is what it is. I tell you what, Frank surprised me. I thought he played well. I didn't realize, I remember Luigi and JJ, but I didn't realize that Frank had 8 points, so I apologize. We almost had 6 players hit double figures, so that makes sense, but it was a quiet 8, wasn't it, for Frank? I mean, he did have those quality minutes, buckets, and that's what I'm saying, is that people don't realize that the casual fan, they don't realize the talent that's on this team. It's very underrated, but that's good, under the radar. Bubba, very excited that people don't realize, they know Oklahoma football, but the average person probably doesn't realize how good, obviously basketball fans, but a casual fan wouldn't realize that Oklahoma basketball has been good, especially under Lon Kruger. And now you have a situation where, they have a new coach, tough nosed guy, then the Mazer. And the great thing I took from this is the East Carolina of old would have lost a much bigger margin, 20 some points tonight. But these guys are making shots, Bubba. I mean, before, I was telling a guy, yesterday at work, that I said, how embarrassing is it that the team you pull for, your alma mater, they have shots wide open and they can't hit them? You know, not, you don't expect, obviously, it would be delusional to think that they can make 80, 90, 100%. Obviously, that's way over, you know, but my God, if you're wide open and you think about, Bubba, all the basketball we've watched over the years, and but particularly the recent teams, that if they had just made, we talk about that all the time, just some of their shots, including a couple threes, it was a difference of winning and losing. I think you saw tonight the best opponent by far, not even close, and we were so close. And, you know, Bubba, always say about about free throw shooting, that separates good teams from great teams. Man, those free throws that we missed down the stretch really, really hurts. And you don't realize that at the time how big of a deal those, you know, the free throws are. But when you lose by five, and what were the percentages again for free throws?
Yeah, taking a look at those team statistics, and okay, you talk about the way the Pirates shot the ball from the floor. I'll mention that in a moment. But since you asked about the charity stripe, East Carolina was 13 out of 20, 65%, and Oklahoma was 21 out of 27, 77.8%. Not only did the Sooners shoot a higher percentage, they attempted seven more, and you know, they made one more than East Carolina attempted. That was one of the big differences tonight. Also on the backboards, Oklahoma 31 rebounds to just 23 for the Pirates, and a lot of shots were being made by both teams, and so there were fewer opportunities. And so that was one of the things. But you know, I was talking with Johnny Gardner during the game, and I tell you what, I think it was about the 16 minute mark of the second half, and we just had 9 rebounds for the game. Yeah. And part of that, like I said, was Oklahoma in the first half shot something ridiculous, like, I don't know, 63, 65%. I mean, because the Pirates were right there in the upper 50s or right around 60. So it was just a matter of kind of a perfect storm to have an odd statistic like that. But going over some of these other numbers, both teams shot the ball extremely well. East Carolina, 27 out of 51, 52.9%. The Sooners were 25 of 48. And I found that a little surprising that they had fewer shot attempts on one hand, because they had several offensive rebounds. But when you look a little deeper into it, the Sooners did turn it over 16 times. So that did result in East Carolina having 3 more shot attempts on the night. From three-point range, Pirates were 7 out of 19, 36.8%, which isn't a bad number. And a lot of that was coming from TRW, Tremont Robinson-White, 3 out of 4. And you also had Oklahoma, 8 out of 21, 38.1%. So that was pretty much a push. Sooners with just one more three-point basket. And then assists. East Carolina had 13, Oklahoma had 16. And I mentioned Oklahoma had 16 turnovers. The Pirates finished the evening with 11 turnovers.
Yeah, when I look at that, right at 53% for the field goals, and then Bubba, very happy to see that's much better to see in three-point land, 36.8% from three, something we desperately needed to get better. The sad thing is 65%, you want to get 70% or better from free throws. The problem is we missed 7 free throws, and you literally lose the game by 5, which means that if you can make 5 out of those 7 that you missed, you would, you know, at least have a tie game, or 6 out of 7. But anyway, I've always said that very line, good teams, the difference between a good team and a great team is free throws. And that's something that we really feel strongly about. That's just a stickler for me. And another thing, Bubba, to keep in mind, there was some front end of 1-and-1s. It was a couple times I remember maybe in the second half. That game seems like it's a day ago. It was just a few hours that it's ended. But very stressful and so close. The other thing that bothered me that I'll have to say, really happy with the defense, but there was two or three possessions there towards the end of the game that I felt that's when the game got away from us, meaning that we had like a 3-point look, and even the King McClure said, the analyst, we still had 16 seconds on the shot clock. You can't do that in a tight game. And I know that when they look back at the film, I'm not being critical. I'm happy with the performance as far as past teams, like I said, would have gotten blown out. So Dooley's got a team now that's going to be competitive in every game. Kind of ironically, Bubba, where we're starting to see this with basketball, where we're winning the games we should. Same thing with football. And we're competitive in games maybe we have no business to be in, or where we have a chance to win, like Oklahoma. I mean, the coolest thing is that my mom and my daughter and my son were pulling so hard. My mom was screaming at the TV. And my mom, my petite, sweet mom, you know, but she loves sports so much, and she loves basketball so much that she was really upset. There were some bad calls, but ultimately, we talked about it, Bubba, it comes down to rebounding, the free throw shooting, and those possessions towards the end. That's what I was really looking at. I just disappointing to see that. But again, I guess it goes back what we're talking about. It's the fact that it's just a few possessions that if you could have back, you only lose by 5 points. The free throws, there's a few things in there that's what cost us. So,
yeah, with just over 11 minutes to go in the game, Pirates, after Gibson knocked down a three, it was 61-49 Sooners. And then Pirates really stepped up the defense at that point. Mm-hmm. I want to say Oklahoma went 5 or 6 minutes without a basket, and then still shot 53% for the game, which is crazy that you can go 6 minutes without a field goal and still shoot 53%. But in those waning minutes, and in those final 5-6 minutes of the game, the Pirates cut it down to 3 or 4 points. On multiple occasions, took some ill-advised shots, forced some things. I recall shots specifically, and this is certainly not picking on Vance, because this happened with multiple players, but Vance had a shot off the right wing where he was just trying to make something happen rather than letting the game come to him, and took a shot that was nowhere near. And then there was another one, and I don't know that this was necessarily even that bad of a look, but it was the one that you referenced with about 15 seconds left on the shot clock from close to straight out by J.J. Miles. And I actually thought it was a halfway decent look, but it just banged off the glass, maybe barely drew iron. So just executing in those clutch situations. But at the same time, while I say that, even though we didn't have some good possessions in those scenarios that we just referenced, how about Tremont Robinson-White and also Tristan Newton and some others knocking down clutch shots there in the final minute, right? Yeah. When you thought, hey, it's a 6-7 point game. Oklahoma has this thing probably under wraps. At least some people probably did. Okay, you'd go 1-for-2 at the line, and then Tristan came down and knocked down that three with 13 seconds left. All of a sudden, it's a 77-74 game. Anything could happen. And I really thought on that ensuing inbounds pass, we had him trapped in the corner. I thought we were going to get a 5-second call.
Yeah, I was surprised. And was it? And I told you that. Maybe they during that, another thing that I noticed, and maybe I'm wrong on it, but it looked like to me it was definitely close. Goldwire was traveling there. I thought he moved his pivot foot. Maybe he didn't towards the end. I guess now it doesn't really matter, but the ball was definitely off the fingertips of Hill. That was another critical possession. But like we said, there were some things that we've got to clean up and work on. And I tell you what, that defense, Bubba, though, was much, much better I'm very happy to see that because I really feel like our offense is doing, you know, pretty well. And another thing, too, to keep in mind, folks, is that we're playing Oklahoma. That's a tournament team being, yes, the Big Dance, March Madness team. And a lot of the – I mean, I'm not talking about this tournament, so don't get me wrong. This tournament has a lot of good competition. But if we play like we did tonight, we can win. That's one thing I was happy about is if we play well tonight, this will be a team that can win. As B.P. says, he's putting money on 16 wins this season. And I, you know, if they play like they did tonight, I would, it'd be hard to argue against him.
Oh, no doubt. The commentators kept saying they were like, I cannot believe that this team is picked last in the American Athletic Conference. And yeah. I've said this time and again, I mean, all they knew was that we lost Jaden Gardner, who was an all AAC player. And in a lot of folks' opinions, the best player in the league, but he just didn't earn that honor because he was playing for East Carolina and that was under 500. But and we have a comment from Brennan on Facebook Live. Brennan's chiming in just saying simply how much better the offense looks. No offense to Jaden Gardner. But like I said, I mean, he's one of the best to ever wear the purple and gold. But anybody that's watched this team play, he said very proud of the team tonight, played hard. We look much more balanced this year without Jaden having to carry the team, or maybe not even necessarily having to carry the team, but just the way things were running. Because you look at it, and I talked about this in our preview for the season. Outside of losing Jaden, we returned, you know, 56%. we returned so much production. Guys that were either in double figures or right there knocking on the door of double figures with the likes of Brandon Suggs, Tristan Newton, Tremont Robinson-White, et cetera.
Yeah, it was, what, five guys. We had a good nucleus coming back. Plus, I tell you what, Bubba, there is a player that, to me, I think he's under the radar now, in my opinion, but as a guy that you and I have discussed before, but, you know, looking at his film, I really like that. Is he from South Carolina, the Felton kid? Where is he from?
Or yes, Texas? R.J. Felton is from Aiken, South Carolina.
Yeah.
Okay. And R.J. did get I think he played 2 or 3 minutes tonight, but very bright future for him. And, you know, a lot of those youngsters, I mean, this was the type of game where it wasn't that surprising that they didn't see as much action as they did in Canisius and Western Carolina. But getting back to some of those comments from Joe Dooley that I talked about in the opening, first of all, Coach Dooley said there's some positives on which we can build. There were some things that we hadn't done yet. The speed of Oklahoma was a little quicker than what we had seen so far. Now we have to get adjusted to some things and correct it. We've got to make sure we can clean up some of those situations. And he had also said, we did some good things tonight. At the start of the game, we gave up way too many easy baskets, which is a point that I intended on making. On ball screen situations and pick and rolls, we got caught on the wrong side. Something we've worked a lot on. With that said, they put us in some bad spots. We've got to recognize and guard those. We did a good job of fighting back.
No question. There was some, what was that, Groves kid?
Tanner Groves, the big-time transfer, Big Sky Player of the Year a season ago, coming in from Eastern Washington.
Yeah, he was. He reminded me of one of our favorites. You know what he reminded me of is that movie from Will Ferrell. Do you remember Semi Pro? When he had the headband on and all that. But I saw Groves. I was thinking about not to get off on a tangent, but I just made me laugh. I thought it was Semi Pro there for a second, but anyway, there was some funny parts in that movie. But let's talk about this movie of the Pirate basketball overtime. We were talking about East Carolina going down 79-74. Looking ahead, Bubba, did you have anything before we switch gears quickly to Old Dominion?
No, Pirates will be taking on the Old Dominion Monarchs out of Conference USA, and obviously soon to be the Sun Belt. So You look at Old Dominion. Old Dominion is, I tell you, obviously very strong basketball tradition, and they've been very good in recent years. And tonight was not a good night for the Monarchs as they went down 77-36, I believe was the final, to the Indiana State Sycamores. Right. And Larry Bird is not playing anymore, but now the Sycamores have still had some tremendous basketball in recent years. But like B. Page chimed in earlier on our Pirate preview for the Navy game in football, saying it was like Larry Bird had dropped 40 tonight.
no doubt about it. That's going to be later tonight, being Friday night, as we're recording this early Friday morning. After midnight, we're going to let it all hang out. I tell you what, if we play, like I said, if we play well, like we did earlier last night, then I feel very good. I feel good about our chances. I feel good, even if Old Dominion plays as good as I think they can, I still think we have more talent. And Bubba, this comes down to the games that we should win. Then there's the 50-50 games, and there's games like tonight where we had a chance, we had our chances, we had Oklahoma on the ropes and just couldn't get it done. But I just really feel good about that. Here's another question too, Bubba. I know Brendan Shapiro has. He asked about how much longer, how much do we know about Winston Tabbs? What we know, Brennan, is simply that he won't be available this weekend. There was reports that he had tonsillitis last week, Bubba, right? It's been a good while now, at least last week. My memory, sir, your memory is better than mine, especially.
It was prior to the, prior to the opener against South Carolina State?
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, because we thought we would see him play. And talent-wise, he's phenomenal. Of course, the Boston College transfer. If you think about this, Bubba. We were talking about this. Winston Tabbs and Vance Jackson will be the guys that really put up a lot of numbers. But like you said tonight, Tabbs doesn't even play. Yeah, Jackson only gives you 3 points. But I believe that he will get very high. And the good news is when you have a Brandon Johnson, some of these other guys that you knew that they were good, but you maybe thought it would take some time to get adjusted to the program. They're getting those quality minutes. I thought Frink, like we talked about, there's a lot of great players that are between. I think it's been a nice blend of transfers and the new recruits coming in that has really made this team. And like I said before, this team has a lot of great shooters on it. And I'm looking forward to an Old Dominion matchup. And by the way, fans, in case you didn't know, we play them in Williams Arena Tuesday, November 30th. So right after the Tuesday after Thanksgiving, we'll be playing them in Williams Arena, Minji's Coliseum, at 7 o'clock that night. So just a matter of not even being November 18th, 12 days away from the next time we play them. So we'll play neutral court, site, and at home. So I'm really excited about it, Bubba. I know that we're going to have a great outing. I just feel good about it. Do you think Pirates pull it off later tonight, being Friday night?
I do. I think we'll bounce back with a win against Old Dominion, and clearly Old Dominion's a much better team than they showed against Indiana State. But I do think the Pirates will bounce back and get to 4-1 on the season, and then take on I'm trying to think of the results from the other game. You had on the other side of the bracket, New Mexico State defeating Davidson, and then also Utah State defeated Penn. So, and that game was in double overtime. So East Carolina's, if we win, we would be facing the winner of that loser's bracket game between Davidson and Penn. So,
wow. It doesn't get any easier, does it, my friend? Oh, my goodness.
So, well, because then you have, obviously, you have Utah State and New Mexico State squaring off.
Well, it should be a great tournament, and I'm glad Dooley got us in there. the Myrtle Beach Invitational. If you're anywhere near there, then go and support the Pirates. It'll be a lot of fun. I wish we could, Bubba. We have obviously families and full-time jobs and all that, but it would be fun to be down in, I guess that's with the Coastal, that's Conway, South Carolina, but very close to Myrtle Beach. And looking forward to a great season. Do you have anything before we go?
All I have is just congrats to the ECU women. They improved to 2-2 with Education Day victory, defeating Hampton on the Battle of the Pirates at Williams Arena Menges Coliseum. And it was the East Carolina Pirates coming out victorious 75-58 in front of 2,500 fans, majority of which were students. I believe it was actually middle school students more so than elementary, but they did limit it to around 2,000 students rather than the 6,000 they've had in the past because, you know, some concerns still with the pandemic and so forth. But congrats to Kim McNeil. The Pirates did get off to a slow start offensively, but then they got things together and were able to even their record at 2-2.
And if you want to go back, we actually interviewed her this week, so you can go back in the archives, and we thank a lot of Coach McNeil. She's always been very good to us, Bubba, as you know, from day one, and has come on there, whether it be good times or bad times, especially with the pandemic. She came on right after the pandemic happened, if you remember, Bubba, and along the way. So we appreciate Coach McNeil for all her support for the program and selling her program, being East Carolina, the Lady Pirates, and basketball in the hardwood for sure.
Yeah.
And very excited about their future too.
And when we caught up with Coach McNeil the other evening, she did mention the name a lot, Taniya Thompson. And Taniya finished with 19 points, 4 out of 7 from 3-point range in tonight's game. And she led 4 Pirates in double figures.
It's going to be great. She talked about that balanced scoring too, that she wanted it more like in the past with LaShonda Monk, more than just one person carrying the load. She wanted that spread around. If you know anything about her, she is definitely her brand of basketball. Very exciting for sure. Brendan Shapiro, thanks for staying up late and doing this. Brendan, we wanted to do it because unfortunately, I don't think we're going to be able to do a show tomorrow night. We'll have to wait and see. Most likely what will happen is later tonight, I should say, with the Pirates taking on Old Dominion. That will be was that a 7 o'clock game, Bubba? And then
7:30.
I'm sorry. I knew I was going to say that wrong. And then on Sunday, because we don't know the outcomes of the games, that'll determine who we play on Sunday. But we will have the Pirate playback on Sunday night at 8 o'clock, and we'll look and see if we can squeeze in an overtime as well, and we'll do a double shot of the ODU and whoever we play, and a team to be named later, right, Bubba?
Right. And again, it will be either the Davidson Wildcats or the Penn Quakers.
All right, sounds good. We appreciate it very much. Thanks to Coach Joe Dooley. Thank you, Bubba, for all your hard work, my friend. Know that this is the one place you can get the coverage of basketball is right here, as we bring you the Pirate Basketball Overtime on the Sports Objective. Good morning, everybody, and go Pirates!